Good morning, church. Welcome to worship this morning. We are so glad that you're here with us. If you are a visitor, we welcome you here. And if you'd like to know more about us, you can find us on the web, and the addresses are in the bulletin. We have a number of announcements for us today. First, remember that Tuesday night will be our Thanksgiving service at Trinity. It is my hope that we would support Janine and Trinity as we worship together at 7:30. I think last week I said it was 7, but it's actually at 7:30 at Trinity. And so that's going to be a wonderful service and time for service. We have begun meeting as a prayer group on Wednesdays at 1:30, but this week, because of the holidays, I'd ask that we move it up to 11. Now, a lot of people have said, okay, so you have a prayer meeting, but I don't really know what that means. I don't know, you know, I'm a little afraid to go, that you might call on me to pray out loud or something like that. And that's not necessarily so. It is a place and an opportunity for members to come together and to lift up the needs of the community and those folks that are on our prayer chain and on our prayer list and our own prayer concerns. And so we'll meet here, and you don't even have to pray out loud. We know that God hears our prayers, both spoken and in our hearts. And so we invite you to that. Next week is a great week for us. It's a hanging of the greens. If you can believe it, it will be the first Sunday in Advent. It hardly seems possible. But it will be a hanging of the greens service. And also, we will have guest speakers. I will be here, but the Irwins will be here also to talk to us about their mission and do a mission report for us. So that will be all of next week's service. I'm not sure. Is there Nikki, do you have an announcement to make?
We are looking to hire a secretary part-time. It'll be about 10 hours a week, doing the bulletins, the PowerPoint, answering the phone, and typing for the pastor, and doing the calendar. So if anybody's interested, if you want to get a hold of me or Pastor Melissa, that'd be great.
So we're excited. We're excited about hiring a part-time secretary, and it's a great opportunity for somebody who just wants something to do during the day. And the hours are very, very flexible, so we're excited about that. Any other announcements from the floor? No senior choir for the next 2 weeks, so you guys have a break. If there are no other announcements, let's prepare our hearts for worship. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord, who is and was and is to come, the Almighty.
Blessing and honor and glory and might be unto you, O Lord.
Worthy is Christ, who has ransomed us by his blood from every tribe and tongue and nation, who made his people a kingdom and priests to our God.
Holy, 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 Lord God of power and might, who is and was and is to come.
Would you pray with me? Heavenly and gracious God, we give you praise today. It is Christ the King Sunday, and we lift up and remember that we have chosen to make Jesus our King and our Lord and our Savior. Be with us this morning. May your Holy Spirit reside with us as we come to celebrate. As we celebrate and prepare and lift up, O gracious God, be with us. Amen. Our opening hymn is We Gather Together, number 131. As we gather together to ask the Lord's blessing, I invite you to turn and give the blessing to your neighbors. Our seats. I invite the children to come forward for the children's time. are going to, how many of you guys are going to celebrate Thanksgiving this week? Are you going to celebrate Thanksgiving? Yeah? No? How many of you guys have Friday off of school? Yeah? How about Thursday? Yeah? How about Wednesday? Amazing. Yeah. It's going to be a great week, isn't it? Well, when I was in school, some of those days, we didn't get Wednesday off. And so sometimes we had special days. Like, have you guys had school pride day where you got to wear the school colors? Well, we had a thing called hat day. Have you ever had a hat day where you got to wear your favorite hat? Yeah, even back when I was little, we had hat day. And people brought wore all kinds of hats, and the teacher wore hats. So I brought with me a couple of hats that maybe you could help me with. I brought this one first. Can you think of who might wear that hat? Let everybody see it. See it? Who might wear that hat? Go ahead. Right. A construction worker, or sometimes people who work on the highway, they could wear that hat. All right, good deal. Let's see. This is another one. This one may be a little easier. You guys know? Okay. A fireman would wear that hat. Yeah, that looks like a fireman's hat. Let's see. What else do I have in here? How about that one? Okay, good luck. Police hat, exactly. Now I've got one that's a little trickier. You may not be able to get this one. I don't know. You can see if I can trick you on this. Can you see it? What is it? A fisherman's hat, yeah. And then one more. There's another hat in here that's kind of a special hat. What is that? You guys say it out loud. Anybody can say it. Yeah, it's a crown, and a king or queen would wear that hat. Well, we know that in the Bible, the Bible tells us that Jesus was asked, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And Jesus said, "You say that I am." And so, but Jesus was a different kind of king. Jesus didn't wear a crown, well, at least not a gold crown with lots of jewels in it. Jesus wore a crown made of thorns, and that he was mocked and made fun of. But he is, the Bible tells us that Jesus is the King of Kings, the King of all kings. So when you think of a king, what kind of things do you think the kings do? What do kings do? Do they go around and meet with important people? Yeah. Do you think kings sit in their palace and count their money? Maybe, right? I'd like to be that kind of king. Do they make laws that maybe make people work harder? Probably sometimes, huh? Well, Jesus was not that kind of king. Jesus said that I came not to be served, but to serve. And yet he's the king of all the earthly kings. Well, that's kind of hard to think of, isn't it? But today we celebrate Christ the King Sunday, and we remember that Jesus is Lord of our hearts and of our minds and our bodies and our soul. And so and that means that we try to follow and be like Jesus. And Jesus said, if Jesus said he came to serve, then we have to be servants too. So today we remember that our King is a good and perfect King, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and that we need to be kind to each other and serve each other. Let's pray. Heavenly and gracious God, we thank you for the role model that you gave to us in Jesus that shows us your nature. We thank you that you sent Jesus to care for us and to love us. And we ask that you just bless us today and bless these kids, Lord, that they would just come to know you as King and Savior, and that they would turn to you for all their decisions. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, guys. Thank you so much for coming up. And now you have your, we have your suckers, and you take two. Yeah. And take one, and take two, take one for yourself and one for someone else. And do I have somebody who wants to help me with the microphone? Okay. Cool, thanks. Thank you for that. Awesome. There you go. And you guys can be dismissed. Thank you. You can follow Miss Marianne. Yeah. This is a time when we gather our joys and our concerns. And so we lift up and praise God and wonder, are there any praises that we have this morning? Mr. Ringwald, over here.
Well, I have two this morning. Many of you know I've had some back trouble here lately. And I went to the surgeon this week, and he said I've improved enough that he doesn't think I need to have surgery anymore. So that's a joy.
Awesome.
And I'd also like to thank the people who sent cards and prayers for me. And my second joy is Gloria and I are celebrating our 45th anniversary today.
Oh, congratulations.
And I'm thankful she still thinks I'm a decent guy most of the time.
Are there praises or prayer concerns?
Could you just keep Ben's uncle Junior in your prayers? He has prostate cancer, and they called hospice in, so it's just a matter of time.
I'm sorry, Nikki, who was that?
Junior Lawrence.
Junior Lawrence.
I'd just like to give thanks to our football team for a great season this year and to praise the Lord for being with them and the coaches all year long.
Absolutely. Any others? You may be finding a name in the bulletin, Kevin Schneider. It isn't in yet this week, but it is my brother-in-law. He has oral cancer. They're taking out part of his jaw and some teeth, and they're doing some radiation that's localized. They've already taken out his lymph nodes, and they'll be putting in a feeding tube. So if you could keep my brother-in-law in your prayers also, that would be greatly appreciated. Any others? Let's go to the Lord in prayer then. Thank you. Heavenly and gracious God, we thank you for this day. How amazing it is, Lord, that things can change so quickly. We, in a blink of an eye, we went from 70 degrees to 50, then to 30, Lord. And we know that, boy, it just felt cold, but we give you thanks and praise that you are a consistent God. There are things that we can count on and that we know, Lord, are going to happen. You are the God of order. You are the God of consistency, and we give you thanks and praise. Lord, in our consistency, we also we know that you are consistent in loving us. And so we give you thanks, Lord, for healings, and for anniversaries, and for birthdays this week, oh gracious God. We give you thanks for those and praise for that, Lord. We also know, Lord, there are places of concern and prayer that is prayer needs that are on our hearts. Places that we lift up to you quietly, Lord, that are between you and us, and we just know that we need that so badly. We pray, O gracious God, and give you thanks for healings in advance, and especially for those of us who struggle with ongoing health issues, Lord, that you would bless them and keep them. You walk beside us, Lord, even when things seem really bad, that you are always right there. And so we give you thanks for that also, Lord. Lord, in the midst of this, it is Thanksgiving week, and we give you that we are reminded of all the things that we have to give thanks for. We thank you that you have blessed us, that we might bless others, that we are acutely aware of those overseas, for those in our own country in need, for the transition of our nation, and for all of those places, Lord, we ask that you would be covered in prayer, the fires in the south. Lord, all those things are on our hearts. So we would ask that you would hear these prayers as we just sit for a moment and listen to your voice speak to our hearts. Gracious God, your love flows through us like a flowing fountain, carrying all of our hopes, all of our dreams, all of our concerns, flowing through the power of the Holy Spirit in connection with you. And as you pour out your Holy Spirit on us, you unite us as one as we pray together the prayer that you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Sometimes we've had a tradition of doing special prayers over folks. And I'm wondering, Randy, would you consider coming forward and being anointed? Would you like for us to lay hands on you and pray for you this morning? Awesome. So I invite anybody who would like to join me. We always have the vial of oil on the altar. And a lot of times it sits there year after year and never goes used. But it is a sign for us, instituted by God, that we trust in his healing and that we're sealed in his love. Anyone's welcome to come forward as they feel called. Randy, never forget that you are a beloved child of God. That as we go through our health issues, God is with us. God has anointed you. We anoint you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, that he may watch over you, O gracious God. Lord, we pray for a total healing on Randy. We know, Lord, that you are the great physician. We know that as he goes through this, that you would be with the doctors, that you would do an amazing work in and through Randy and through his doctors, that we would wait for good news, that you would fill him, Lord, that your Holy Spirit be so present in him that it would press out any of the cancer, O gracious God, and that you would be the Lord, over all of our health. Gracious God, we pray for peace as he goes through the steps that need to happen, for he and for Karen and their children, Lord, that you would be with them as they struggle with this cancer. But Lord, in the midst of that, we proclaim, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that there is power. There's power in your name and power in the blood. And so in the name of Jesus, we pray that you would heal Randy, that you would pour out your spirit on him, and from the tip of his head to the top of his toes, Lord, that he would be pronounced clean. That he, oh gracious God, would experience this. And we pray it in your precious name. Amen.
Let the heavens
I am so blessed to be a part of this wonderful choir and the music. I don't know, I would come every Sunday and sit as close as I could to hear this choir. Hear this reading that comes to us. The Old Testament reading is from Jeremiah, the 23rd chapter, verses 1 through 6. What sorrow awaits the leaders of my people, the shepherd of my sheep, for they have destroyed and scattered the very ones that they were expected to care for, says the Lord. Therefore, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says to those shepherds. Instead of caring for my flock and leading them to safety, you have deserted them and driven them to destruction. Now I will pour out judgment on you for the evil that you have done to them. But I will gather together the remnant of my flock from the countries where I have driven them. I will bring them back to their own sheepfold, and they will be fruitful and increase in number. Then I will appoint responsible shepherds who will care for them. They will never be afraid again. Not a single one of them will be lost or missing. I, the Lord, have spoken. For the time is coming, says the Lord, when I will raise up a righteous descendant from King David's line. He will be a king who rules with wisdom. He will do what is just and right throughout the land, and his name will be the Lord is our righteousness. In that day, Judah will be saved, and Israel will live in safety. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Amen. And as we, as faithful sheep of his fold, we give back to God a piece of what he's given to us and the mighty blessings that we've gotten. May I have the ushers come forward, please. Please stand as you're able. Loving King and Shepherd, just as you gathered the lost and scattered sheep, that they might be fruitful and multiply. Gather our offerings this day, that they might multiply as they go forth to help a lost and scattered world. Amen. You may be seated. Our gospel reading comes from the 23rd chapter of Luke. And I have been reading over the last couple of weeks out of the Common English Bible, which is one of the Bible versions that the Methodist Church has suggested for reading in the church so that it's more of a Common English. But I know that it's been different at different times on the screen, and it was brought to my attention last week that can be a little unnerving, and so I apologize for that. But the Common English Version, I think, gives clarity. And it's a great version. It's not a great translation. By that I mean that it is not word for word, but it carries the intent of the text. This comes to the 23rd chapter, verses 33 through 43. When they came to a place called the Skull, they nailed him to a cross, and the criminals were crucified, one on his right and one on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." And the soldiers gambled for his clothes by throwing the dice. The crowd watched, and the leader scoffed. And he said, "And he saved others." They said, "Let him save himself if he's really God's Messiah, the chosen one." The soldiers mocked him too by offering him a drink of sour wine. They called out to him, "If you are the King of the Jews, then save yourself." And a sign was fastened above him with these words, "This is the King of the Jews." One day, the criminal hanging beside him scoffed, "So, you're the Messiah, are you? Prove it by saving yourself and save us too while you're at it." But the other criminal protested, "Don't you fear God even when you have been sentenced to die? We deserve to die for our crimes, but this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus replied, "I assure you, today you will be with me in paradise." The word of God for the people of God.
Thank you.
Christ the King Sunday, a Sunday that was started by Pope Pius XI in an attempt to really regain the role of Jesus in our life as King and Savior. He lived during a time when he felt that we needed as a church to remember and to put Jesus back in a place of power. And so by instituting, it was originally called the Feast of Christ the King, and started obviously by Pope Pius XI, a Catholic tradition, but all of the churches have embraced it for what he intended for it to achieve. So he began this with a couple of goals in mind. One was that nations would see that the church has the right to freedom and immunity from the state and persecution by the state. That leaders and nations would see that they are bound to give respect to Christ as Lord. And that the faithful would gain strength and courage from the celebration, as we're reminded that Christ must reign in our hearts, in our minds, in our bodies, and in our souls. But let's face it, even in an attempt to accomplish those goals, that even today, the whole day of Christ the King has lost a lot of its punch. If I started thinking about it, I think about the younger generation, and I would venture to bet that if it were not for Disney, they would not have a grasp of what kings and queens and princesses were in a historical way. And even then, I think it's pretty flawed. So it's a celebration that we tend to ignore. A lot of churches have said, well, we're not going to do that anymore. You know, it doesn't make much sense. I think the last royalty that we had any real admiration for was probably Princess Diana. And even that, you know, it was like the 80s. And the 80s to me sounded like yesterday, but like none of my kids were born, you know, until the late 80s. And they're all now adults, so that tells you how fast that goes. But the point is that the church instated the Christ the King Sunday in an attempt for us to put Jesus back in his rightful place in our lives. And we have often failed at that. That it's so hard for us to see Jesus as King when we really don't even know what kings are or what they're supposed to be. Not only that, but in today's politically correct world, people push against terms like king and lord because it shows that it points to an antiquated system and oftentimes is believed to be an oppressive system. But Jesus was not that kind of king. In fact, we know that Jesus did what Jesus did best and took all of our earthly understandings and turned them upside down and turned them on their heads. Like everything else, Jesus came to show us that the King of Kings was servant to all. He fulfilled Isaiah's prophecy, proclaiming that he came to care for the poor and the widows, to make the lame to walk and the blind to see, to release the prisoners and set the captives free. And I wonder if Jesus meant by captives all those who were under human rulers, and to replace them as the good and perfect king that represented the kingdom of God on earth and in heaven. Mark tells us that Jesus said, "You know those who are recognized as rulers over the Gentiles. They lord it over them, and their great ones make their authority over them felt. But it shall not be so among you. Rather, whoever wishes to become great among you will be your servant. Whoever wishes to be first among you will be the slave for all. For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for the many." Jesus knew, I am convinced, the oppressive nature of the secular kings and rulers, even as early on as those days. And in other passages of Scripture, his kingdom is tied to his suffering and death. While Christ is coming to judge the nations, his teaching spells out what kind of kingdom that is going to be. What kind of justice that he will instill in his kingdom. It will be peace and mercy and righteousness and forgiveness. They will be the hallmarks of those things. Now, I asked, as we talk about Christ the King, especially in America, Americans have a really hard time connecting with the image of King. But I mentioned a little last week about being in Mexico, and when I was in Mexico, I went in right after Christmas. And when you go to, they are folks of celebration, if nothing else. And so the baby Jesus is an important figure in the creche in Mexico. And I show just one of the first slides, and I'll tell you about it. This, when we talk about the baby Jesus in Mexico, we are not talking about those little 2x2 square babies that are stuck in the manger that you can't extract. We are talking about full-on, giant-sized, life-size babies. And they're huge. And they remain, the whole manger scene remains up all the way into middle February, or actually it's the 1st of February. Go to another one for me. What happens is that the folks keep the baby in the creche up until February 2nd, and then they take the baby to the temple to be blessed by the priest. And so if you can imagine this nighttime service in a cathedral where everyone's bringing King Baby Jesus into the cathedral to be blessed. Now, it's exactly 40 days after Christmas. And we believe that, you know, in the Jewish tradition, Mary would have been unclean for 40 days. So she wouldn't have been able to go to the temple until then. And so they believe that this is a day they celebrate as the day that Jesus was brought to the temple to be blessed. And so after this day, go to the next one. After this day, after they get blessed, after the service is over, there's lines and lines and lines of families with these babies that come up to the priest. And then they parade them through the streets, and all the families hire mariachi bands, and they take them to the family home, and they host a festival, a big party, and baby Jesus sits on the throne on the table in the center of the room to preside. After this night, then the baby can be put back away on the shelf. Baby Jesus never gets stored away. We don't put him away in a box. In Mexico, he gets put on a shelf where he can preside over the family life for the rest of the year until Christmas comes again. But people will spend tons and tons and tons of money on these baby Jesuses. And sometimes at the sacrifice of their families. So they go, there are in the Mercado, there are stores that are specific to just buying a baby, Jesus, or the clothes, or the crowns, or the royal robes, or the thrones that they sit on. And it's an amazing thing. So they get it. These folks, they get what it means that Jesus is king. And maybe they go over the top with this. You know, it was a little weird, I have to tell you. Being a part of this, I thought, well, it's a little over the top. But at least they got it right. At least they see baby Jesus as king. It is not an abstract thought for them. It's very concrete. But it remains a foreign concept for us as Americans. But I believe that it's important to remember that Jesus is Lord, and for more than one reasons to remember to surrender our lives to him completely. So part of the celebration is to remember that Jesus is our Lord of our lives and to surrender our lives, but it's also to remember history. It is a part of history. For most of us, we know the Bible, we know the parts of the Bible, we know the people in the Bible, But we don't know the chronology of the Bible. Now, you may be thinking to yourself, what is she talking about, the chronology? What is the problem with that? And I will be the first one to tell you that I don't believe that anybody gets into or is kept out of heaven because they don't know chapter and verse of something. But I think it's important for us to know not only the big biblical stories, but to know the order in which they go. So let me ask you, who came first in the Bible, Noah or Abraham? Noah came first. Noah came in the seventh chapter of Genesis. It's important. Why is that important for us? It's important because if Abraham was wiped out in the flood, we don't have a father of faith, and we don't have a lineage. Let me try another one for you. Who came first, Joseph or Moses? Joseph. Joseph came first because Joseph, it was through Joseph that the people found refuge in Egypt from the famine. And because they were so successful in Egypt, the pharaohs hated them and oppressed them and made them slaves. As prophesied, was prophesied to Joseph for 400 years, and it was Moses who releases them out of Egypt and to restore them as the people of God. Let me see if I have another one. Who came first, David or Samuel? Samuel, yeah. Absolutely, because it was Samuel. Samuel was the last of the judges. And, you know, the people of God wanted a king, or the people of God wanted a king for themselves, like all of their other earthly neighbors. And so they begged God and begged God, and God kept saying, I am your king. I am your king. You don't need another king. Finally, he relents, and we see he has Saul anointed as the first king, and we see how well that worked out for us. Well, why is this important? It is important because it's important for us to know that the Bible tells one continuous and true story. The entirety of the Bible, I believe, exists to tell us and to attest the fact that God is king. God is king. All among all of the earthly people we want to anoint, of all those, we know how badly kings went from David on, that they were a pretty horrendous group of people. And I believe that God has waited from the moment he anointed Saul as king to restore himself as king over all of us. I am convinced from that moment that God had a plan. And this is where we have our lesson today. Hear these words from Jeremiah again. Watch out, you shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of the pasture, declares the Lord. This is what the Lord God of Israel proclaims about the shepherds who tend to my people. You are the ones who have scattered my flock and driven them away. You haven't attended to their needs. Jeremiah is simply stating the situation to the people that were before him. The shepherds or the kings or the rulers that had lived until that day were supposed to have protected the people. They were supposed to have been their shepherd. But instead, not only did they not prosper under them, but they led them into being scattered. So Jeremiah simply states the fact. And he goes on. I will take refuge on you for the terrible things that you have done to them, declares the Lord. Now listen, here is the prophecy. I myself, meaning God, will gather the few remaining sheep from the countries wherever they have been driven. I will bring them back to their pasture, and they will be fruitful and multiply. I will place over them the shepherds who came for them. They will no longer be afraid or dread harm, nor will any be missing, declares the Lord. God is telling Israel through Jeremiah that God is king, and God will be king again. This is a message of prophecy for the coming Messiah, for Jesus. He says, the time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up a righteous descendant from David's line, and he will rule as a wise king. He will do what is just and right in the land, in a land during his lifetime. And Judah will be saved, and Israel will live in safety. And his name will be known as the Lord is our righteousness. Knowing that God has always planned for him to be restored as king over all humanity, we can see a glimpse of God's plan in these verses. The righteous descendant of David is, of course, Jesus. And Jesus is the righteous one. Today we celebrate Christ the King Sunday. We have to remember what it means to give lordship over to God. Today we choose what or who will be king in our lives. Will it be money? Will it be power? Will it be relationships? Will it be a job? Will it be business or gambling? Maybe we're tempted to make Christmas itself, the season of Christmas itself, the king over our life. And these verses and Christ the King Sunday points towards next week. Next week is the beginning of our festivals, of our celebrations, in anticipation for the fulfillment of God's plan to make God king in our lives again as we celebrate Advent. Oh, we can hardly wait. May this Sunday be the Sunday that we prepare our hearts for Advent, that it in and through the next 4 weeks, we are focused on celebrating Christ as King and the coming of our King, worthy of everything that we have. Let's pray. Heavenly and gracious God, we give you thanks, O Lord, for this celebration that reminds us in a world that has forgotten kings, that has denounced anything but making ourselves kings of our own lives, O gracious God. Help us to resign ourselves to you that we may be servants like you, not to an oppressive king, but to a king full of justice and love. And we pray it in your name. Amen. I invite you to stand for our closing hymn as we prepare for Advent. Come, thou long-expected Jesus, number 196. As you go, remember that Christ is King of your life, and to give the peace that comes with knowing that he's not an oppressive king, but a king that loves and gives and forgives and is righteous. Go in peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.